back. I'm not that tall, brother. My name is Shane, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, everybody, how you doing? Cool. What a room.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I figured you were out there somewhere. First, let me say thank you to the Chesapeake and Potomac region for asking me to come and share. Thank you, Lynn. I know you're in the back someplace for asking me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope, and that's what I'm here to do. I have a home group. I have a sponsor. I have a couple of days clean, and I've been around for a while. I do service, and I believe in service, and I'm a grateful member of Narcotics Anonymous. As we talk about things like spirituality and not religion, I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't have a lot of experience with religion. But I learned early that religion is something that other people give you. See, growing up, my parents didn't really do anything about religion, so I went looking for it. And I was about 10 or 11, 12 years old, and I would walk to the church where my parents would go when they went. And I would get up every Sunday morning and put on my goofy little clothes that my mother bought me, and some really goofy little shoes. I called them pilgrim shoes. I don't know what they were, but they were the funniest looking things I ever owned. And I don't know about anybody else, but my shoes came from the Sears, you know. And my mother picked them out. She brought them home, said, these will fit you. And, you know, that was people telling me what I was going to believe and what I was going to do. And I got to the church, and the church people were right nice, except they kept saying things like, where are your parents? Where's your family? What's going on here? But they would let me come and be there, and they were kind of nice enough. But eventually, that wasn't the answer I was looking for. And then one day, the church people came to my house and visited with my parents. And I didn't really know what that was, except for I knew that somehow somebody was in trouble. And eventually, it was going to be me. So that was the end of the church people. You know? And about that same time in my world, some things happened in my life that led me to believe that I was on my own. I was 13. My parents had taught me all I felt like they could teach me, and I was on my own. I knew better than them, or so I thought at the age of 13. So I proceeded to try to teach myself how to grow up. And one of the things I was searching for and looking for was something to believe in. And there really isn't anything out there to really believe in. I didn't have a lot of ways and means to go looking for things. So here's what I found. I found somebody who I could hang with. Those were the guys smoking cigarettes across the street from school. Because you didn't have to do nothing, just have a light. You didn't have to be anybody. You know, my daddy didn't have to be, you know, anybody. I didn't have to have any money. I just needed a light. And for the first time in my whole life, I felt accepted. And that's how I found you guys, was I was looking for acceptance. I was looking for love. I was looking for a place to belong. But from 13 until I was in my 30s, I kept looking until I found you guys. But the search took me to all kinds of crazy places, into crazy people, doing stuff I didn't know anything about, trying to kill myself one day at a time. And if anybody didn't know how to use, get with me after the meeting and we'll talk about it. But we're here today to talk about recovery. So I'm going to leap forward and talk to you about walking into the room. And here's what I read when I got ready for this meeting. And it came out of this wonderful book called It Works How and Why. It says, from our very first meeting, we sensed the love and acceptance of other NA members. We began to come back to life. What we were experiencing was an awakening of the spirit, no less dramatic than it sounds. From the very first day I walked into a meeting, I saw exactly what I wanted. I saw a girl who I knew had a bunch of money. Even in a sweatshirt, I could still see money across the room. She had what I wanted. And she told me everything I needed to know about Narcotics Anonymous in one night. She shared her speaker with me. She got on a meeting list. She circled all 7 days worth of meetings. And she told me, don't use no matter what. And if you use, you got to do what I do. I promise to go to rehab the next time if I use. She taught me everything I needed to know that night. She had 6 whole months clean. I had 3 days clean. She had everything I wanted. I went to every one of them 7 meetings to make sure she was there. And those became my regular meetings. And her sponsor became my sponsor for a while. And then I had to move on to another sponsor. And that's kind of been my growth in Narcotics Anonymous, as we go from one thing to another. Recovery to me is about change. And as I'm reading and I'm learning about spirituality in this program, a lot of what it talks about is we gain little things along the road. The first thing you gain is a big, deep breath. Now, after about 30, 45 days, the first day the dope man called me and said, "Hey, I haven't heard from you for a while. I got the bomb. I'll call you back." That was my first spiritual awakening because I didn't know what to do. So I did. At that point, I did all I could do. I went to a meeting and I told these people, these nice people that all smiled and were happy and all that. They didn't look anything like I felt. And I told them people that the dope man called me, and he had never called that I hadn't called him back. And they told me what to do. And for the very first time, I took help from somebody else. And it worked. When he called back, I'm going to tell you the secret. When he called back, what I was told to do was tell him, "I don't do that anymore, don't call me no more," and hang up. They said, "Don't ask how the wife and kids are, because you don't care. And by all means, do not ask if it really is the bomb." I didn't do that, and I survived that little opportunity, and I started to move on to other spiritual things. Little bits of spirituality would come into my world. See, and I believe that religion is something that people gave to me. It's a gift. You can send it back if you want. But spirituality is a thing that I find. And I've been searching ever since I got in Narcotics Anonymous for little tiny bits of things like little spiritual things like patience, not my best virtue, and tolerance, and giving without asking for anything in return, you know, loving unconditionally. That's some hard stuff, man. You know, I never learned about any of that stuff. All I knew was that animals could love you unconditionally. Because I knew I could go to work and leave my dog at home all day long, and he still liked me when I got home after 8 or 10 hours. So that was about as unconditional as love was for me. And it progresses. And as I started working the steps with my sponsor and I started getting into things, I learned these little tiny things. And I believe things now. See, my sponsor taught me how to see miracles. And she taught me the difference between miracles and coincidences. And the coincidence is that you and me, we get to the meeting at the same time. A miracle is we're in two totally different places and we're both in need and we walk into the meeting. It's on the subject both of us need. And we don't even know exactly what the subject is when we walk in the door. That to me is a miracle. And she taught me these little tiny things. And she taught me the miracle in nature. You know, I've been down here at the beach all week, so I've been watching the miracle of the power of the water, right? And the other night when it rained, there was a big thunderstorm down here, and either the clouds were low or the fog was high, but I felt like I was in the storm. It was really cool and really powerful, and it's very humbling to be in the presence of something that powerful. And I feel like that a lot of times when I'm around you guys. Because one-on-one, you know, I'm socially inept. I'm inadequate in a lot of ways. And everything in my head I'm thinking while I'm talking to you is what I'm doing wrong, how I don't look right, how I don't act right, and how I don't sound right. But you guys don't care. And you tell me, we'll love you till you learn to love yourself. You're okay just where you are. Tell me all those kind of things, and it makes me allowed to be just where I'm at. And if I'm messing up, I'm messing up, and you guys say it's okay. You don't say, "No, no, no, you're not." You say, "It's okay, I messed up too. Here's how I got out of it." And that's what we do for each other. That's the true spiritualness of this program, is we help each other. There's nobody out there that's helping us. Nobody out there helped me before I got here. But I do have to tell you, when I got here, I knew everything. Okay, good, I'm not alone. I knew definitely what you needed to do, and I had an idea what I was supposed to do, but that didn't mean I did it. So what I've learned is I've stayed here, and the most spiritual thing I've learned is I don't really know anything. The less I run and the less I know, the better off I am. So I just kind of show up and try to be a service and have a couple of elements. Let me tell you some of the things that I've learned how to believe in Narcotics Anonymous. I believe in people. I believe in the power of all of us together. There's something that happens, and if you knew men, just wait. There's something that happens when we all get together that is bigger than anything I've ever seen in my whole life. It's bigger than the biggest church. It's bigger than the... There's something that happens when all these people that have all ruined their own lives can come together and lift everybody up. And I don't know what it is, that's the best way I can explain it, but it's the coolest thing I've ever seen. We don't know where we're going. But I learned little things like if you pray, an answer will come. And usually, I don't know about you, but usually it comes to me from somebody who I don't particularly care for, telling me something I don't particularly want to hear. And then I get to grow. See, I was in a meeting the other day, and we were talking, and somebody told me that they were afraid of me. He's my new son. We're now attached at the hip. I ain't letting him go, because I ain't letting you be afraid of me. I need to be a member, and if I think you're afraid of me, I'll tell myself I don't need you guys. I don't really want to be around you anyway. I'm okay by myself. And pretty soon I'm gone, and I'm not trying to go, man. I'm not trying to go back. I learn little things in nature, like I live near D.C. And at Rock Creek Park, there's about 4 million deer. Because you can't shoot them down. You can't do anything with them. So they're growing totally out of control. But you could drive through Rock Creek Park every day for a month and not see any of the 4 million deer. And then one day you'll drive through, and they'll be standing on the side of the road just kind of looking at you going, what? They're so cool. But what my sponsor taught me was that these deer are signs from my higher power of great things to come. So now I look for them because I'm hoping for good things to come. And she told me when you see things that don't exactly match where they are or can't exactly be explained, that's a miracle. And that's why I believe the deer are a miracle. Because if there's that many of them in there, how come you don't see them all the time? Little tiny things. Not bushes on fire, man. Call the fire department for that. Little tiny things. I don't want to go to a meeting. My phone rings. I resign from all of you guys. I get a service commitment. I have a great fear of too many people in a small space. I went up to the merchandise room after the main meeting last night, and there's about 4,000 people in the hallway. All I wanted was my little jacket, right? I'm trying to, like, dope fiend something through the back door. Can't I just pick up my jacket? I ended up in service there till, like, I don't know, midnight or something last night. That's how it happens. I could feel a part of. I went from being afraid to being right in the middle of the thing. I don't know how that works, man, but it does. And that's my spiritual program. Me and God, we walk and talk on the beach. We walk and talk through downtown Silver Spring. I don't really care. You know, we have a conversation. He talks to me in my radio. He talks to me through you guys. He talks to me in all kinds of ways. But the relationship that I have with my higher power is the one that I need. You know, about 10 years ago, I went through cancer and treatment and all that kind of stuff. You know, I had to, like, give up all my hair one day, all in one day, and do some other things. And that's when my relationship with my higher power changed. You're supposed to get diagnosed to go to your doctor and have them kind of talk to you and counsel you through all that stuff. I was at the lab, and I was at the lab for something else. And the guy said to me, I can't do this treatment on you because you have cancer. And they said, $250, thank you very much, have a good day, and kind of let me go. So I was sitting in my car, it's 10:30 in the morning, everybody I know is at work. I'm all by myself, and I'm sitting on a road, and I'm looking at the highway signs. One said 495 West. I think it said Kansas, but I think really it says Virginia now. But I'm not exactly, it just said West, and I thought I could run away from home. And the other sign said, if you're from D.C., 495 East Georgia Avenue. And Georgia Avenue is where I bought a whole lot of dope. And I'm sitting there, thank God there wasn't a lot of traffic. I'm sitting at the traffic light while it's cycling through the lights, trying to figure out whether I was going west and run away from home, or I was going east and I was going to go buy a bag of dope, because I sure didn't know what else I could do. And right there, sitting right in the middle of the road, my phone rang. I told you everybody I knew was at work. And it was somebody that I had met, somebody's mother I had met, only because that person had gone to jail and I met her at court. And she was a 5-year survivor. And she was returning my phone call from like 4 days prior. Now, I can't explain how all of that happened. I'm just telling you what happened. I picked up the phone. I didn't really know what to say, because I don't know how you say those things to people, right? And she said, what are you doing? Like she knew. And I didn't know what else to say. So, you know, it all came like blubbering out, right? And she said, well, where are you? I said, I'm in the middle of Old Georgetown Road. She said, well, go home. It had never crossed my mind. Never. That woman saved my life that day. And she was the first of many angels that have come into my recovery since then. That night, God said to me, believe what you want to believe. God said to me, as clearly as you're hearing me talk, I have given you everything you need. Just get through it. And that's what I did. And he sent me angels. They cut my grass. They cleaned my house. They carried me back and forth to Baltimore for treatment. They held my hand. I don't remember everybody who took me because the stuff went crazy. They carried me to meetings. They waited while I accessorized my disease because, you know, that's what a disease is all about. You got to have all the right accoutrements. I had to buy scarves and hats, and I'm not a wig girl. So when all my hair fell out, I had to, like, you know, go shopping. Because, you know, what else do you do, you know? When I heard I was sick, I went and bought pajamas because I thought I was going to be entertaining. That's not what happened. But every time an angel came to me, I recognized who it was. And all I wanted was the opportunity to get through that and be an angel. And, you know, you don't know which day you're the angel or you're going to need the angel. And you just don't know what you say to somebody and how it's going to turn out. And where you're going to end up. So all I'll say in closing is, I hope to be an angel today, and I hope I don't need one. But if I need one, man, I hope you guys are out there for me. Thank you for letting me share.